Bris Mila tips. The role of Eliyahu Hanavi at the Bris. At many Brises, two chairs are set up at the spot where the Bris itself will take place. You know, ask the Mohel, and he'll tell you. One is for the Tzaddik, who will hold the baby during the Bris, and the other is for Eliyahu Hanavi. Is he joking? Nope. The tradition is to have a place set aside for Eliyahu at a Bris, and this tradition is pretty old. It's actually recorded in the Shulchan Aruch in Yerodea, Resh Samach Hei Yud Aleph, Shulchan Aruch Yerodea 265.11, where the Shulchan Aruch says as follows: Noagin lasos kisei le Eliyahu shenikra malach habris uchashemanicho yomar b'fiv shu kisei Eliyahu. There is a custom to set up a chair for Eliyahu, for Elijah the prophet, who is called the angel of the Bris, and when you set it up, you declare that it is the chair of Elijah. Some say it means when you place the baby on the chair, you say this is the kisei Eliyahu, but more likely it's referring to when you place the chair there. And the Gaon of Vilna comments there, quoting the tale as recorded in Pirkei d'Rabbi Eliezer, chapter 28. Here's a translation of the Pirkei d'Rabbi Eliezer. This midrash, the Pirkei d'Rabbi Eliezer, says that Yehoshua needed to make flintstones for circumcision on account of the fact that those who had been circumcised had not removed the lower membrane, which is called the Or HaPriya, which will be discussed in a different Bris Mila Tips segment, and they therefore did not look circumcised. So he gathered all the foreskins in the Givata Aralot, the Valley of the Foreskins. This is, of course, in the beginning of the book of Yehoshua. The Israelites would take the blood of the circumcision and cover it with the dust of the desert. When Bilaam came, he saw the desert filled with the foreskins of the Jews, and he said, "Who could stand against the merits of the blood of the covenant, which is covered with the dust of the earth?" As he said, "Mimana for Yaakov, Jacob is like the dust, who can count his hordes?" In Bamidbar, Perachov Gimel. From here, the rabbis established, again, this is still the Pirkei d'Rabbi Eliezer, they established the rule that the blood and the foreskins should be covered with dirt, following the dictum that your children will be like the dust of the earth. And of course, that's also discussed in the Bris Mila tips on the what is done to the foreskin. And this is how Israel practiced Bris Mila, continues the Pirkei d'Rabbi Eliezer, until they were divided into two kingships in the book of Melachim Aleph, Kings 1, when the kingdom of Ephraim outlawed Bris Mila. Eliyahu stood up to them, jealous on God's behalf and zealous against the forsaking of God's Torah and lifestyle. He swore that the heavens would not produce rain, and there was no rain on account of this for several years. Queen Izebel heard about his declaration and wanted to kill him. And Eliyahu stood and prayed to God. God told him he was following the precedent established by his ancestors. Yaakov fled from his brother Esav, who wanted to kill him. Moshe fled from Paro, who wanted to kill him. King David fled from Shaul. Eliyahu, therefore, fled and ran to Har Chorev in Melachim Aleph, chapters 17 to 19. Hashem revealed himself to Eliyahu there, saying, "What are you doing here, Eliyahu?" Malacha po Eliyahu. And Eliyahu said, "I have acted with great zeal for God, Kanoki Nesi Elohim, but the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant." God said, "You're always acting with zeal. You acted zealously against immorality at Shittim, as Pinchas," which follows a different Talmudic concept that Eliyahu and Pinchas are the same person. "And now you act with zeal. I swear that a Bris Mila will not take place until you see it with your eyes." From here, the rabbis established the custom that we arrange a chair for Eliyahu, the angel of the Bris. The term Malach HaBris comes from the first verse in chapter 3 of Malachi, in a discussion that concludes with the promise of the sending of Eliyahu, who there is referred to as Eliyah, as the Messiah at the end of days. Just to get back to that one point about Pinchas Zu Eliyahu, there is a tradition that Eliyahu was either a reincarnation of Pinchas, which the Yalkut Shimoni 771 and the Midrash Agadim Bamidbar Chaf Hei Yud Gimel suggests, or was the same man with a different identity. Obviously, the first approach is more plausible, because otherwise he'd be hundreds of years old by the time that he comes around as Eliyahu. But leaving that to be what it is, of course, it's also a subject of a much longer discussion. But therefore, the custom is to set aside such a chair and to make a bit of pomp and ceremony surrounding the presence of Eliyahu at the Bris. Eliyahu's presence is, of course, also noted at the Seder. I might love when I'm doing a Bris for people who are unfamiliar with the ceremony, which is usually non-observant Jews. I'll ask them. I say, "We're about to place the baby on the on the Elijah the prophet chair. He makes his presence known at every bris. When else does he appear? And everybody knows he comes at the Seder. And so that's of course something to bear in mind. But suffice it to say, Eliyahu's presence is also the source for a different custom related to the bris, and that is to avoid inviting people. There is an old custom not to invite people to a bris due to the belief that the spirit of Eliyahu the prophet is in attendance. Were people to be invited and not come, this would seem as an affront to the prophet. But if they are merely informed that the bris will take place at such and such a time and place, they're not declining any invitation if they don't show up. Lastly, I'll share a thought that was shared years ago on a Lukjed conversation. This was posted by Rabbi Perry Tershwell in the name of Rabbi Menachem Ganak. So Rabbi Tershwell wrote that Eliyahu's role is the guardian of the Mesorah. He represents the authenticity, the link in the chain back to Moshe. Kano kinesi l'Hashem, he was the voice of tradition. Therefore, he shows up at a bris when we bring a newborn into the tribe. That's Rabbi Tershwell's words. Okay. He is v'taritz kushios v'abayos, as opposed to Moshe Rabbeinu. He is the link back. Moshe gave us information, but Eliyahu will be the one who will answer the questions. Moshe should be the guy, but he's not going to be the guy for whatever reason. Not for whatever reason. This is why Eliyahu's role is this way. He comes to the Seder, which is the moment of the handing of the Mesorah, the tradition from one generation par excellence. Or if you got it to Levincha Bayom Leimor, that's the time when you're sharing with the next generation. And of course, as I mentioned, he's the harbinger of Mashiach. He'll know who's real and not real. This is to conclude Rabbi Tershwell's comment. Eliyahu's work was not done when he was swept up on a chariot. He is needed in every generation to give the nod of approval that though we may look different and our lives are vastly different than our ancestors, we are still keeping the faith. As such, I'm concluding now, because that's the end of Rabbi Tershwell's comment, the person who places the baby on this chair is therefore considered to have a very significant role, bringing the baby as close to one of the greatest defenders of the covenant, whose soul, it is believed, will one day inhabit, or at least will introduce, the body of the Mashiach.